and forgetting to remember. Your memory, my memory, has an incredible power. We memorialize holidays, 4th of July, Memorial Day, or Independence Day. Independence Day is the same as the 4th, but anniversaries, birthdays are a type of memorials, and they're incredibly important. Pull up Ecclesiastes 7:10. This is in the Bible. Pull it down for a minute. They already read it, see how fast they were reading. But how many of you think the good old days were good? Okay, be honest. How many of you long for the good old days, happy days? Things were normal. Everything was right. Leave it to Beaver. It was all good. The scripture says this. Don't say this. Do not say, what is it that the former days were better than these? In other words, the Eisenhower presidency wasn't better than this. For it is not from wisdom that you ask about this. Keep going. That's good. We'll just say, we'll back up to that, just that one verse. That it's not from wisdom. You know, nostalgia is a huge business. Going back, and because it gives us a sense, it's a good feel, and many of the sports stadiums that are being rebuilt, they're being rebuilt in a genre of the 1920s to 40s with brick walls and, you know, painted advertisements on the outfield wall like it used to be in the old days, and so they're seeing people like the thing about nostalgia and remembering. I think it is good to remember our past. One of the problems we have is idealizing our past. In idealizing our past, we tend to be selective about our past at times, about how good it really was. And the good old days sometimes just weren't so good. And if we really are objective, I was just thinking, for me, the good old days when I was in my teens and 20s, you know, our president was assassinated, the president of a civil rights movement, the leader was assassinated in cold blood. The Vietnam War was raging, hundreds of thousands of people were protesting, they were throwing human feces at the Pentagon. The academic buildings in the 1970s were occupied by students. SDS was going wild. Cuba was expanding, was fighting a war in Angola. The Soviet Union was amping up. The Cold War was racing on and on. Socially, we decided that abortion was legal in 1973, and so that was a big deal. OPEC started in 1973. That was the first big deal when all of a sudden little Toyotas started being the car to get to save gas. And all this is going on in the good old days. They said, I did a little research, and it depends on who you believe, but approximately 200 million people have died in war from the beginning of the 20th century in the good old days. I became a Christian in 1972, and I was really hungry for the Lord, and in those days, there's a lot of people talking about end times. Man, it's around the corner. How many have ever heard that? Jesus is coming back. Don't wear your seatbelt because of the rapture. You know, it's going to, there was all this stuff going on. It was crazy. So this one minister, I was young and I was hungry, and this man was experienced. And I said, well, so, you know, I have my own thoughts on the second coming. When he said, Kevin, if Jesus does not come back in 1975, he'll have to come back by 1977. Aren't you glad he didn't come back yet, Matt? Because he was born in 1977. And the reason he said that was because he looked at what was going on with OPEC and the oil, and he said, this is the beginning. It's no way. And so sometimes you have two types of people when you look at, you have the historians who look back, which we can learn from. I love history. I think there's a lot to be gained from an authentic, realistic view of history, to understand where cultures are, to understand mindsets of how people think. That's why history is so valuable, because it's already happened and we can look at it. Then you also have what's called futurists. And futurists are people, I'm not talking about seers, I'm talking about they're skilled in projecting the future. At least they think they are. Alvin Toffler, in that same time frame, wrote a book called Future Shock, which was essentially that culture and things were moving so fast. This is before the internet, by the way. Things were moving so fast that in the present, you're in shock about the future. In other words, you're stressed out right now, not about what's happening right now, but what's about to happen, and you don't even know what it's about to happen. He also wrote another book, The Ecospasm Report. Don't you love these futurist authors? They want to be this way, you know, just kind of mess with your mind. But the point is that God called you and me to live right now. He called you and I to live in the age of technology. He called us to live with institutions coming down. He caused us to live right now. And you could have been born any time. Anybody want to have been born in the Middle Ages? Anybody want to be born in Revolution? Maybe Dave Larson, we've got a Revolution guy over here, okay. You know, the life expectancy wasn't so great. And you know, today, to you, when you get, those that are in their 20s and 30s, when you get to be my age, these will be the good old days. Boy, I remember just coming to church and just worshiping and dot, 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 dot. And so we have a way of idealizing it. In every one of those situations, God gave you grace and gave me grace as we went through that time. I was talking with George Lazeski last night about our culture, and we really started talking about the 1960s, how that really destroyed much of our culture. And most of the leaders in government today are children of the 60s. Still shaking their rattles, say, gimme, 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 and still got to have, you know, coming up with a new mousetrap on how to live. So here we are, we're just Christians, right? And we're in this place, and God calls us to be salt and light. We're not to look back at the former days and say it was better, but he says in Ecclesiastes also, remember your Creator in the day of your youth. Psalm 78 says that they remembered that He was their rock, and God remembers that we are but flesh. I'm very comforted by the fact that God knows I'm flesh, and the fact that He knows, and you know, Peter, that when they prayed in the garden, you know, the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, and that God understands your bad habits. He understands your slightly irritated temper. It's not a bad thing, okay? You just get a little bug sometimes and your temper goes. You're not laughing. He even has grace when you're angry, okay? When you shouldn't be. Because He gives you grace to say you're sorry. He remembers His covenant forever. So there's some things in remembering that we recalibrate. As we sing this morning, all these things, He gave His life for me, He died that I might live. Those can be just empty words, almost like a husband saying to a wife, do you realize how much I love you? I love you so much, and so much, and so much. And we can sing that way. I am so grateful, so grateful, so grateful. But see, we're not, there's a, what God wants to do, those of you that are married, you know that a relationship, who was it, Woody Allen said one time, relationships are like a shark. He said, the problem is, he said, relationships are like a shark. Our problem is we've got the shark's always moving. Our problem is we have a dead shark. You know, that was Woody Allen. I don't know if you don't like me quoting Woody Allen, I don't think. But remembering is recalibrating. We're to remember that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We're to remember gratefully what he's done for us. We're to remember that he made us and not we ourselves. We're to remember that he's full of loving kindness and mercy. We're to remember that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Now, remembering that, even when we have communion, next Sunday we say, do this in remembrance of me. You're remembering things about the Lord, and your relationship to the Lord is critical to going forward. And if God, whatever God's done in your life that's good, don't lose that. Hold on to that ground and remember what he's done. Remembering well the right things and forgetting, I'll get to the forgetting part later. But let's turn to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, I want you to get the totality of that. I don't know if you've ever really blessed somebody with everything you've got. It's a selfless feeling, but it's like you pour out. Your goal is to really bless them. And if you have a son and daughter that was away and they come home and you just, rah, you can't get enough of them. With everything in you, come here, oh! So good to see you, and it's all my soul. Jesus, all that's in me. You want to be loved that way, and we love him that way. Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, all my emotions, my thoughts, and forget what? None of his benefits. Okay, do you know why that's in there? Because we do forget. And we live in the immediacy of the present crisis, and we take his benefits for granted. It's almost like we have Christian Social Security. I'm saved. Yeah, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's a given. But the real world is what I'm battling every day. Forget none of his benefits. That means that's an active process of remembering. And here's some of them. He pardons most of your iniquities. I mean, isn't that amazing? All. Would we be comfortable this morning if we ran a videotape of everybody's sins in this room, both before Christ and after Christ? I don't think so. I think we'd thin out real fast. But see, he pardoned all those sins. It cost him laying down everything and coming here and showing us how to live. And those were real arms that got nailed to the cross, real hands. It was a real spear in his side. It was real thorns on his head. It was real spit in his face for you. And he did it. And here we are 2,000 years later. He pardoned all your iniquities, every one of them, your language, your lust, I'll stop there. He did it all. Everything that you think that you beat yourself up with, he's pardoned. It's like Bill owes. Anybody got any debt here? Put it this way. Anybody have in debt? Don't raise your hand too high. Mark, don't tell me how much, but how about if I just come and write a check for that? Okay. If I did, he'd be free of his creditors. Okay, but I'm sorry, I don't have the money to pay for your debt. There's one who does, though. The debt of your sins that are unredeemable. And he came, he said, let me pay the debt. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. Yes, the outer man's decaying, but the inner man's being renewed day by day. So he paid this price that makes us want to say, to remember that he pardons. I messed up, and he says, that's okay. You shouldn't have done that. You really shouldn't have done that. And I said, I know, I shouldn't have it. I forgive you. I pardon you. The governor of the universe gave a pardon. The president of the universe gave a presidential pardon to everybody in this room that claims to be a follower of Christ. And that's why when you die, and we who have sinned should be going to hell, we have papers that say we've been pardoned. This one, Peter Luzek, oh yeah, he's been pardoned of all his sins. Yeah, I know he did that. I know he did that. But he's pardoned. Come on in, Peter. You're free as a bird. Glory to God. What a redeemer. And he says, and he heals all your diseases. Okay? First off, everybody that was healed in the Bible died. Okay? So all the stuff in the Bible, the signs and wonders, they eventually died. God intervenes in time and does miraculous things, and we should and do pray for healing now. For people we love and people we don't know and people we care about who are suffering, and he does intervene. But the ultimate cause of all disease is sin. And the wages of sin, again, is death. And death, where is your sting? Because I am a sojourner. We are pilgrims. And at the end of the line, we're just going to the next part. He says, my saints, how precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. In a lot of places, he doesn't even refer to it as death. He refers to it as sleep, going from one place to another. But he heals all our diseases. And in heaven, if anybody got a bad back? Bad back. Peter, back's taken care of. Peter, you're getting double bonus. Your pardon and your back. Okay, anybody? Tom, you're going to be running wind sprints on that leg. I mean, it's like, he heals all your diseases. We get new bodies. I'm not going to try to explain all that. Some of you say, yeah, but new what kind? I don't know. Okay? All I know that it's wonderful what God's going to do. And he redeems your life from the pit. Okay, Tony, what pit were you in? That's what I want to know. You need to know. And I need to remember. What pit were you in, or were you not in a pit? You didn't need a Savior. You were good already, and you just decided to be a churchy person because that's a good thing. I never did anything really bad. Yes, you did. You sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. Yeah, but I never did the drug, sex, and rock and roll. I know, but you were a gossip, and you had a bad temper, and you were judgmental. Oh, those are bad too? Yes. those are also sins, missing the mark. And so, and what pit were you in when you came to Christ? Now, some people were desperate. What's his name? Cruz, the pastor from Calvary Chapel. Who's the guy? Raul Reese. He had a shotgun in his mouth, ready to pull the trigger when he was watching Christian TV. And that was the pit he was in. Now he's a pastor. Others just realize that they're empty, that life makes no meaning and has no purpose without God. And there's this yearning to be connected to the one who made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And he crowns us. I mean, he puts this crown on Kevin called loving kindness and compassion. I mean, I'm so glad that God is not as it was when I was in India, where the dot in the middle is so that Shiva won't look at my eyes, Because if I look into Shiva's eyes or she sees mine, she's going to burn a hole like laser vision in Star Wars or something. So they're God. You stare at the dot. That's not a God I want. I want the God of the whole universe. I want the God that knows the end from the beginning. I want the eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, all good, all powerful, all loving God who is and will and ever shall be. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and lived a sinless life and died for vicariously for you and I, became a substitution for us on the cross that we might live. You don't, and I don't have any life outside of him. He's everything. He satisfies your years with good things. I'm telling you, I had some really good times in the midst of those riots in D.C. I remember some of the riots on the college campus. He still was doing good things. There was good things in the Lord when very soon after I had come to the Lord, a person I knew took their life. And it was hard, and yet it was good because he satisfies my years with good things, even in tragedy, even in being abased, being abound. Dudley and I joke sometimes. I joke. She doesn't really joke about this. But because she might say it differently, but I said, I don't think I'm any happier today than when we didn't have, you know, a nickel. I mean, when we were first married, I was teaching school in Georgia, and I remember I would give her, I netted $4.40 a month. So that gives you an idea. And please, I'm not that old. Inflation is not that far. But it was very tight the way we had to balance things. But we became creative, like taking long walks with the stroller. And the blowout was once a month to, what's the International House of Pancakes? Because there, you got a bottomless pot of coffee. I would drink that stuff's like oil. And I'd leave there, but that was how we celebrate. I said, you know, I don't think I'm any happier now that we have own a home, have a nice car. And she goes, But what I'm saying is happiness, if happiness does depend on your surroundings, totally. I mean, we understand the comforts of those things, but if you have to have that to be happy, something's missing. Okay, so he satisfies our years with good things, and so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Most people, how many of you like being around older people that kind of talk a lot about their past? Some. How many like it when they really ramble? How old is your age? Let me tell you something. Now, we didn't do this kind of stuff. When I was your age, I want to talk about, you know, the difference, but I want my youth to be renewed like an eagle. I still, at this age, and your age, those of you that are peers of mine, is to, age-wise, in every way, is to catch the current. And eagles catch current. They don't flap their wings and get tired. They know how to do it. Hopefully, experience will help us to be like eagles and be effective at every phase of our lives. And the Lord performs righteous deeds. He's good. This is his character. Everything he does is righteous. It's impossible for God to not be righteous. He is righteousness defined. Every good and perfect thing comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's no shifting shadow. He is absolutely 100% righteous. So what it says to me is when he's wrong, he's right. He's only wrong in my perspective. And judgments for all who are oppressed. He cares about the downtrodden. The song that Simeon sang this morning, God cares about these people all over the world. He cares about hurting people in Mission Viejo and El Toro and Laguna Niguel and the beach cities and the canyons and Ladera and Santa Margarita, Irvine. He really cares about each person. He's put us here for a reason, and his judgments are good. It's a good judgment that he brings on those who are oppressed to help them. And he made known his ways to Moses. He doesn't leave us in the dark. He gives us his word, which is a lamp and a light. And so he made known his ways, like the 10 suggestions. You remember them? Anybody here could recite the 10 commandments this morning? Go ahead. Come on up here. I forgot what you mean.
Cliff.
Cliff is going to. Now, every believer should know this, I believe. But Cliff's going to show us. Go ahead.
The easy way for me to remember is, well, the easy ones you save for last. The first one is you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. The second one is you shall have no other gods before me. You don't have any idols or idolatry. One of the easy ones to forget is don't use the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. And then you can come to the easy ones if you want to just start filling up some space. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. And I know I'm forgetting.
Honor father and mother.
See, that's me being young. I hear it 24/7, and it's still not coming out. On your mother and father. Am I forgetting anything else?
Covet ye. Thou shalt not covet the
neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. And see, that one is, it's a word that we don't really use that often. I guess it's to be jealous or, you know, wanting stuff that other people have.
Very good, Cliff.
Sorry.
The beginning of those, the very first thing he says, I am the Lord your God, thy God. He establishes in the beginning that he is the sole proprietor on the earth. He has the title deed to this planet and to this universe. He has the title deed to you and to me. He is so magnificent and large in scope, and yet is born in a manger, knows when the hairs of your head fall to the ground. Even a sparrow doesn't fall without him knowing about it. This is an amazing God that I want to know better, and I want you to know better. We can't do that just through a sermon. All I can do in a sermon is try to whet your appetite that God wants more for you and for me than we even have now. There's more. It's like the relationship is still growing. A shark is still alive. It's moving. And so he says, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. I love being around compassionate and gracious people, but our God is that. He's slow to anger. I'm so glad this morning that the Lord does not have a hair trigger temper. I'm so glad the Lord's not touchy. I'm so glad the Lord doesn't get his nose out of joint if someone looks at them the wrong way. I'm so glad that he is abounding in loving kindness. But he warns us, he's not going to always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He says in verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Peter, the pardon was not according to what you did. The pardon was what he did. So he hadn't dealt with you or me according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. There is a sowing and reaping principle, but he transcends that with his own life. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. Now, I don't know how high that is. Do you? I'm trying to think, how high can we go? Ionosphere, stratosphere, then we go into outer space. How far into outer space is high? I mean, that's how high he's talking about, higher than you and I can conceive. Above the earth, so is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. That is just absolutely amazing. That when you're at your worst, his loving kindness is there for you. Dudley and I had a fight when we were first married. Her fault. No, it's always my fault. That's a given. But we had a fight, and I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating because it impacted my life so much. I was mad. We lived in this little apartment, and it's one of those things where you're trying to communicate, you can't communicate, you're not getting through, and it's like, oh! You ever been there, Patrick? Nope. Oh. Jenny just went like this. Anyway, I was mad. It was a little apartment. I'm sorry. Please don't. I hope I'm not blowing my cover. But I walked out of the apartment and the screen door, and I went, ah! So mad. And then I go, boom. And God's presence came all over me like in Star Trek, you know, when they beam you up. It was like lightning hit me. And I was there, and I went, oh. I said, oh, God, I don't deserve your presence because of the way I've been acting. He said, he really spoke to me. He said, you never deserved it. It's a lifelong lesson. But he rewarded me when I shouldn't have gotten anything. That's his loving kindness and mercy. Jamie has a great story about how he, in his frustrations, he finally decided to go out and sin, and how God prevented that in his life. It's an amazing story. Well, I'll close with this. As far as the east is from the west, how far is that, Floris? Long, long way. It's just eternity. Heavens above, east to west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame and is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind is passed over it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children's, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of the Lord. Even now, from his throne, he is dispensing angels to accomplish things in this time-space world. Bless the Lord, all you of his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his. In all places of his dominion, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's stand. The there's a legend. As we go to close, one of the things that makes it hard for you to you and I to understand this is we tend to beat ourselves up. We tend to believe things about ourselves that have an element of truth but really aren't who we are. And the enemy is looking for a hold in your life that he can use to cause you to limit this wonderful God I've been talking about this morning. Don't let him do it. Kick him in the tail in the name of Jesus. Know that you have the power. One of the keys to this, this is a quote by a guy named Northcoff Olson. He says, I once read of a legend of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown into the human heart. And on finding the seeds of discouragement more numerous than others, he learned that those seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. Discouragement can grow anywhere. When Satan was questioned, he reluctantly admitted that there was one place in which he could never get them to thrive. And where is that? Asked the man. Satan replied sadly, in the heart of a grateful man. Coming into Thanksgiving shortly, let's be grateful and call to remembrance the thing that God has done for us. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Pat's going to send us out with a song, and then I cooked lunch for everybody today. I don't know how I had time, but, you know, super pastor. It's going to be good. Thank you, ladies. Lord, we ask you to bless this food to our bodies and our fellowship. We close with this song to you, to bless you, declare that you are righteous altogether. We love you, Lord. Meet us where we're at, Lord. Help us to turn our hearts to you. Lord, turn off the record player and the TV that's always occupying our heart, and help us to find that place before you, to lay hold of that for which you laid hold of us in Christ Jesus. Amen.